You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Time to talk sports as we say hello to Michigan radio sports commentator John U. Bacon. And John, before we get to scores, wins, and losses, this was a weekend where sports and politics were forced into an uneasy, tense mix through the issue of athletes taking a knee to protest racial injustice and the president denouncing them, saying those SOBs should be fired. What are your thoughts?
Well, I would say that if President Trump's goal was to rally his base, then it certainly did do that, as you see on Twitter and elsewhere. If his goal was to distract us from, let's see, healthcare, North Korea, the Russian investigation, also success on 1A today. They're talking about, of course, this very issue. So from his point of view, I suppose, it was probably a success. From the NFL's point of view, it's a nightmare. The last thing you want is divisions amongst your fan base or your players on the field, in the stands, watching on TV, and this is a very divisive issue, whether or not you stand for the national anthem or not. So I will say the flip side is the teams individually, as well as the NFL collectively, handled this with tremendous aplomb, giving the players the space they needed to do their thing if they wanted to, and not piling on with the SOB comment. And look, I've met a lot of these guys. They're not all angels, but don't tell me they're SOBs. Mm-hmm. And that's where Martha Firestone, of course, Ford, widow of William Clay Ford Sr.,
yes.
She was seen also locking arms.
It was an image. I saw the photo. We were actually listening to the game driving up from Virginia, so we didn't see it. But I saw the photo of her, 92 years old, locking arms with Jim Caldwell, standing in line. A lot of the owners, only a couple, missed the opportunity to get behind their owner, their players.
Well, one thing you got to consider is this. The league is the majority of the players are African Americans. And if you start picking that fight, you won't have a league. So think about that for a second there.
What was lost and gained here, do you think?
What was lost is, if you will, the hoary cliche, the innocence of football. It's one thing that unites us and so on. It's apolitical. It's beyond all this. It's not. The lines are now blurred. So that's been lost. What's been gained is a very strong response. Now, I say what I said earlier, knowing that my father served in Germany after getting his medical degree, volunteered for 3 years in the front lines of the Cold War. My grandfather in his 40s, a dentist, volunteered for a Navy ship in World War II. So I come from a very patriotic family. When I coached high school hockey, our anthem was a very big deal. You did not move a muscle till one beat after the song ended, so I take this very seriously. And yet, I tell you fervently, if this becomes mandatory, it's not freedom. And at that point, we're not who we claim to be. So it has to be voluntary. And the First Amendment's a real thing. Now, it doesn't engage with employers. I can't recall, I'm a student of sports history, I cannot recall any president on either side of the aisle ever advocating for employees to be fired from private organizations based on their comments. That is new territory.
All right. Let's go over to the Lions, the game. And I don't think...
Back to the trivial.
Back to the trivial. I don't think fans have picked themselves up off the floor after that sucker punch of an ending.
This one's complicated to explain. Yeah. The bottom line is Detroit got screwed yet again.
Certainly that seems to be the response on...
We have had a few conversations like this, Cindy, over a few years together. Here's how this crazy rule works. So with 12 seconds left, the Lions get the ball on the one-yard line. If they score a touchdown, they win. So they run a play. The play is called a touchdown. But then they review it with less than 10 seconds left. And the review comes back. It wasn't a touchdown. And then because you need 10 seconds, NFL rule, after one of these reviews to run a play, you have 8.5 seconds left or whatever it was, and you are done.
The game is done.
The game ended in the video booth. And the dumb part about this is if the call went against Detroit initially, if it was not called a touchdown but called down on the one-yard line, you have 9 seconds left to run a play. These are NFL players. They can do that, and they probably would have scored, and they would have won the game. So by being called a touchdown earlier, being overruled through no fault of their own, they're screwed out of this. Once again, the Lions will be the source of a rule change in the offseason because this is absurd.
It's absurd. Did you expect the Lions to get so close to beating the NFC champs?
No, I did not. Look, the Atlanta Falcons were the NFC champions who played in the Super Bowl, of course, against the Patriots, which is never a good idea. It's a very good team still. And the Lions are right there, you know, blow by blow with these guys. So the Lions are better than expected, I'd have to say. And Matt Stafford up and down during the game, but he is the real deal.
All right. Tigers.
They're not.
They're not. Brad Ausmus.
And they're not going to be next year either.
Well, and we know Brad Ausmus has managed his last game at Comerica Park. He's going to ride out this week on the road, and he's out of here. So was the bigger problem the way Brad Ausmus managed this team in his time here? Or did he start with the deck stacked against him because of decisions made by Mr. Ilitch or Dave Dombrowski before he ever showed up?
Answer is yes.
to both?
It was all the above. And throw on top of that, Al Avila, the current guy running the team, making the choices for the personnel. I don't like his choices either. I think the whole thing has been a mess since Dombrowski left. Now, Dombrowski apparently became very unpopular with the front office. You did not see one kind word said about him on the way out. We noticed that on the radio
and
a year ago.
He made trades that the effects are resonating and not in a good way, didn't he?
He did. However, this last 10-year run is his. Okay. It's got to be said. It's Jim Leland, who was one hell of a manager. We've talked about him before, too. He's one of these salty old dogs who does not follow the new computer system for making decisions, and yet look at his teams, Pittsburgh, Florida, Detroit. All his players play their best years for him somehow. So for all the number crunching, there's still the intangible factor of, does my coach have confidence in me? Does he believe in me? And Brad Ausmus apparently did not have any of that because his players tend to have their worst seasons playing for him.
And now what?
And now what? It's now up to Al Avila to pick a new manager and pick new personnel. So whether or not he can do the job, I was talking to my friend John Lowe this morning, who's covered 3,000 baseball games for the Detroit Free Press. He said, we're about to find out how good he is.
All right. Over to the good, the bad, and the ugly from Saturday, starting with the bad and ugly. What'd you take away from Michigan State's loss to Notre Dame?
Not the final score is bad and ugly, but I thought the Spartans played extremely well, actually, and despite the score, here's why. They outgained offensive yardage 429 yards to 348, a substantial chunk. Now, the scoreboard was way against them. They threw three. They had three turnovers. They got converted very quickly to touchdowns. So three plays cost you the game. However, D'Antonio's team played competitive football. They looked much better than last year, frankly. They're back to blocking and tackling. This is not a team going to compete for a Big Ten title. Let's be clear about that. But I think they're going the right direction.
They need seasoning?
They do need seasoning. It's a very young team, not as young as Michigan, but you lost a lot of big seniors last year. So if D'Antonio and Hollis stick together, and I bet they do, D'Antonio will get it going again sooner than later.
Finally, Michigan went over Purdue. What'd you take away from that?
Quarterback controversy, man. You had Wilton Spaten there for the fourth start of the season. He started all last year, did a very good job last year. This year has been shaky pretty much every game. Not horrible, but shaky, and Michigan fans are Michigan fans. They don't like that. He gets injured, and they bring in John O'Korn, who they thought was going to be the starter last year, and he was brilliant. 5 for 5 in the first drive, hitting tight ends, and they rack it up, of course, a very fine final score. So it looks good. Now you got a bye week coming up this week, so Wilton Spade almost certainly will be healthy by the time they play the Spartans in 2 weeks. Now, whom do you start? My guess is O'Korn, but who knows? If you start Spade instead of O'Korn, I would not be surprised if you get some boos in the big house. Not deserved, not fair, but that's the world we live in.
Michigan Radio sports commentator John Eubacon. Thanks, John.
Thank you.